It's Dan Riccio and Satyar Shah. Let's bring in our next guest, Kevin Kurz of The Athletic, covering the San Jose Sharks. Thanks for this, Kevin. How are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing well. It's definitely been an interesting week following what's happened with Evander Kane. And, you know, you come out with the report today that some Sharks players don't necessarily want to see him back on the team. Where are you at with what's happened with Evander Kane and the San Jose Sharks?
Well, the first thing you have to mention with Evander Kane, I think, is that he was the Sharks' best player last year. He's their most consistent player from about mid-February on. He led the team in goals with 22 and points. Most nights he was really effective. And let's face it, players like him are hard to find when they have that blend of speed, physicality, a great shot. That's where I think you have to start with Evander Kane because he is so valuable to the team. But on the other hand, culture has been a big word surrounding this team essentially since Joe Pavelski went to Dallas. And it's interesting, the Sharks basically made a commitment to Evander Kane when they gave him a 7-year, $49 million contract. That was basically the money that probably would have gone to Joe Pavelski in an extension. And Pavelski, as it turns out, got the exact same salary in Dallas, $7 million for 3 years. So, the culture started to slip a little bit. And that's not all on Evander Kane, obviously. I think there were multiple reasons for that. First and foremost, Joe Pavelski was such a great leader and so respected across the board. But, last year there were problems with Kane in the dressing room. To me, from what I understand, it just stemmed from an inability to follow some of the guidelines and the protocols and the rules that the rest of the team was following.
So when it comes to all that around Evander Kane, it is interesting because you mentioned him, how much talent he has as a player, and every situation he's been in, there's something kind of gone awry. And if you look at really trying to change the culture of that organization, Erik Karlsson's not going anywhere. It's too much money, $11.5 million. And even if he's a culprit of being a bit lackadaisical, you're not doing anything with that. So is your easiest avenue to change the culture doing something with Evander Kane here?
Yeah, their options are limited, obviously. I know there's a second buyout window. That would really cost the team dearly when it comes to the salary cap, especially on the heels of a Martin Jones buyout. You can't trade him. I know the team tried to trade him earlier in the summer. That didn't happen. He has a three-team limited no-trade clause, which, frankly, is baffling. I don't think any team was going to give Evander Kane a 7-year contract, let alone a limited no trade clause on top of that. So, Doug Wilson's essentially painted himself into a corner here where, that could be why Kane essentially got away with some of the things that he did last season. And Bob Bugner even alluded at the end of the regular season this year that maybe, and I'm paraphrasing here, maybe there were times where he could have been a little bit harder on certain guys for maybe not following all the rules, being late to practices, late to games, whatever it is that was disruptive that Kane was doing. I don't know what they do. But obviously, they're not going to do anything before this investigation, is complete. And that's expected to happen, before the start of training camp.
Kevin Kurz, our guest. What do we know about this investigation, if anything?
Yeah, nothing really. I don't know anything beyond what has been reported already. The allegations are the allegations, and the league takes that stuff seriously, and we'll see where it goes.
Now, as far as the way the league looks at it, right, and, the whole Blackhawks scandal, and I see people mentioning how, the NHL is taking this more seriously than, say, the Blackhawks situation, but not to be overly cynical here, isn't it just a reality of they see far more economic risk with the Evander Kane situation than they need to see with the Blackhawks scandal?
Well, what I think happened with the Kane situation is, obviously he's going through some stuff off the ice in his family life. And that's frankly, I think that's not any of our business what's happening. But, when those allegations get leveled, it's obviously something the league takes seriously. And, you know, it did circulate on social media pretty much right away, some of these allegations that she was throwing out there. So, you know, I think that's just why the league had to get ahead of this story before it snowballed a little bit, or had to get ahead of the situation before it snowballed. And, you know, it's that strikes to the heart of the integrity of the sport, obviously. So I don't think anybody should be too surprised that, you know, this is the path that they had to take and that they chose to take.
Kevin Kurz, our guest, covering the San Jose Sharks at The Athletic. Now, you know, this Kane situation has certainly put a spotlight on the Sharks, but what was, in your eyes, and what was the motivations this offseason for this team that's, you know, still got a lot of veteran talent, hasn't worked out the last couple of years? Where are the Sharks heading? Where is Doug Wilson taking this team right now?
Well, you know, that's why it's such a complicated situation, is because Kane was so good last year, and the Sharks say they want to make the playoffs next season. And the moves they made around free agency and the trade market certainly suggests that they want to be competitive. They traded for a new goalie. They bought out Martin Jones. They brought in James Reimer to pair with Aiden Hill. Nick Bonino, veteran center, Andrew Cogliano, veteran winger. You know, those guys, I think, were brought in as much for the culture as for, you know, to help the depth of the team. Because, again, the culture was an issue last year, as we learned a little bit more about that today. So, you know, they want to be competitive. It's a tough sell because, you know, Erik Karlsson has struggled the last couple of years. He doesn't look like a Norris Trophy winner anymore or anything like the league's best defenseman. Mark Edward Vlasic is locked up long term. He's, you know, really been 3 years in decline. And even some of the young guys like Kevin LeBanc and Timo Meier, in the last 2 years, they've you know, not equaled their output from the 2019 season when the Sharks were in the Western Conference Finals. So, we'll see. It's an ambitious plan, but it's also really the only course of action I think the team can take, because there are so many guys locked up into these long-term deals that have trade protection as well, that it really gives Doug Wilson limited flexibility when it comes to trying to remake the roster. You know, he really can't. I think this really is the only course that they can take, is to try to find some veteran players, to try to reestablish a strong culture, to hope that a guy like Erik Karlsson returns to form, to hope that the new goaltenders provide better goaltending than Martin Jones did, and see where it takes them. And, you know, I don't think it's I don't think it's a plan that's a complete, I think they have a shot, just in the sense that I think the Pacific Division next year does seem to be a little bit wide open.
Well, the interesting thing here, too, with Doug Wilson is he's been there for 18 years. They've only missed the playoffs three times while he's been the GM, and two of those times have been in back-to-back years here. And it's easy to look at this and say, well, this is a make-and-break season for Doug Wilson, who's been there forever. But considering what you just mentioned, with how many long-term contracts they have and really how they're in a corner where all they can do is try to win on a day-to-day basis, does it even make sense to make a change or be like, it's your mess, figure it out for the next few years until we get out from under these contracts?
Yeah, you know, I think there's certainly a lot of criticism that's deserved with the contracts that Doug Wilson has handed out. There's no question about that. I don't think anybody would argue that. I think they have drafted better since they turned over the reins to Doug Wilson Jr. to be the scouting director, and there are some strong prospects in the system. Basically, what they're trying to do is follow the Montreal reset that led to their success this year, where, you know, Montreal keeps, at the time a few years ago, the Shea Weber contract, the Carey Price contract didn't look too good, but they made some moves and they added some younger assets and then they became competitive again. You know, can the Sharks do that again? It's pretty ambitious to think that they can, but you know, that's what they're going to try and pull off. So, you know, and the guys aren't super old anymore, right? They don't have, you know, there's no 41-year-old Joe Thornton here anymore. It's Couture and Karlsson are both around age 30. Brent Burns is getting up there in age too, but he's the guy that takes care of himself. You know, we'll see. But obviously, in order for them to have success in a couple of years, they're going to have to really hit on some of these draft picks and hope that they turn into NHL players sooner than later.
Kevin, appreciate your time today. Appreciate the insights. Thank you.
Okay, sure, guys. Take care.